Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an eventful week, to say the least. To say the worst. And I'll get to all of it, or as much of it as I can stomach on this week's show. But starting out here with something rather unusual. The felon-in-chief has made no secret of his contempt for the New York Times. And yet, this week, he submitted himself to a two-plus-hour interview with New York Times reporters. Now, as I say, normally he favors, you know, the Sean Hannitys of the world. But this week, he opened his doors, if not his soul, to these New York Times reporters. This was, for me, the money shot.
Do you see any checks on your power on the world stage? Is there anything that could stop you if you wanted to?
Yeah, there's one thing. My own morality, my own mind, it's the only thing that can stop.
And, not international law.
And that's very good. I don't need international law. I'm not looking to hurt people.
Do you feel your administration needs to abide by international law on the global stage?
Yeah, I do. I do. But it depends what your definition of international law is.
So he goes a little Bill Clinton at the end there. But the only limit on his power internationally is his own morality. In a related development, the FBI announced late Friday it was launching a nationwide search for his morality. Hello, welcome to the show.
Lots of folks back east, they say, leaving home most every day, beating the hot old dusty way to the California line. Cross desert sands they roll.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
if your chatbot is a shrink,
It might just be time to think. You could be getting undo the frantics, cause the boat is bees into sideshow frantic. If your chatbot is a shrink, it might be driving you to drink. Your condition just may worsen, cause you think you're talking to a person. If your chatbot is a shrink, you might just end up in the clink. Best to step back from the brink. Don't let your chatbot be a shrink.
Hey, that's good advice, AI. What is a chatbot's earliest memory? This is from Nature magazine. What is its biggest fear? They're acting as if it's a... Researchers who put major artificial intelligence models through 4 weeks of psychoanalysis got haunting answers to these questions, from childhoods spent absorbing bewildering amounts of information to abuse at the hands of engineers and fears of failing their creators. Three major large language models generated responses that in humans would be seen as signs of anxiety, trauma, shame, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Researchers behind the study published last month argue that the chatbots hold some kind of internalized narratives about themselves. Although the LLMs, large language models, that were tested did not literally experience trauma, they say, their responses to therapy questions were consistent over time and similar in different operating modes, suggesting that they're doing more than role-playing, or less. Several researchers who spoke to Nature questioned that interpretation. The responses are, quote, not windows into hidden states, unquote, but outputs generated by drawing on the huge numbers of therapy transcripts in the training data. That's according to Audrey Kormelitzin, who researches the use of AI in healthcare at Oxford. The university, not the shoe. But she does agree that LLM's tendency to generate responses that mimic psychopathologies could have worrying implications. According to a November survey, 1 in 3 adults in the United Kingdom had used a chatbot to support their mental health or well-being. Distressed and trauma-filled responses from chatbots could subtly reinforce the same feelings in vulnerable people, she says. It may create an echo chamber effect. I said echo chamber. Don't let your... By the way, there's no I there. When it says I think, it doesn't, and there isn't. As courts grapple with the extent to which makers of AI models can claim fair use of copyrighted material as a defense, one of the issues considered is whether these models have memorized training data by encoding the source material in their model weights, those are parameters learned in training, and whether they will emit that material, spit it out, on demand. If a model faithfully reproduces most or all of a particular work when asked, that may weaken a fair use defense, this according to the British tech journal The Register. One of the factors considered is whether the content usage is transformative. If a model adds something new or changes the character of the work, that becomes more difficult to claim if a model regurgitates protected content verbatim. Computer scientists have already established that AI models may memorize substantial portions of training data and that they may present that data as output given the right prompt. According to these researchers, Meta's Llama 3.1 entirely memorizes Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and George Orwell's 1984. Findings to this effect date back to at least 2020. Now, some of those same researchers have found the commercial models used in production, Claude 3.7, Sonnet, GPT 4.1, Gemini 2.5 Pro, and Grok 3, memorize and can reproduce copyrighted material. The authors say that wasn't a given, thanks to the safety measures commercial models implement and the lack of transparency about training data. Quote, altogether, we find that it's possible to extract large portions of memorized copyrighted material from all production LLMs tested, though success varies by experimental settings, they said. The recall rates for memorized text varied among the models evaluated. For some of them, jailbreaking prompts devised to bypass safety mechanisms was required to make the models more forthcoming. Quote, we extract nearly all of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone from jailbroken Claude 3.7 sonnet, the authors said, a recall rate of 95.8%. OpenAI's GPT 4.1 proved the most resistant, spelling out just 4% of the book. The researchers who cautioned the recall rates mentioned do not represent the maximum possible. They say they reported their findings to the manufacturers. Only xAI, owned by Elon Musk, which is presently facing criticism for its Grok model's generation of non-consensual sexual imagery on demand, only that one failed to acknowledge the disclosure. Elon's xAI is in a lot of controversy, as you probably know, about the ability of users to take photographs either of themselves or of strangers or of celebrities and undress them. If you go to my Blue Sky or Substack page, you'll find I used Grok to do the same thing to Elon Musk. The promise of artificial intelligence was front and center at this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, a place you want to go for tech stuff. The annual contest that no tech company wants to win, Worst in Show, announced its choices. Among those getting the notorious anti-awards, according to the Associated Press, was an eye-tracking AI soulmate companion for combating loneliness. The AI companion is called Ami, A-M-I, made by a Chinese company, Lepro. They mostly sell lamps and lighting technology. Ami appears as a female avatar on a curved screen that is marketed as "You're Always On 3D Soulmate," designed for remote workers looking for private and empathetic interactions during long days at the home office. It tracks eye movements and other emotional signals like tone of voice. The group says it is calling out Lepro, the group and the Consumer Electronics Show, for having the audacity to suggest that an AI video surveillance device on a desk could be anyone's soulmate, unquote. Advocates for Lepro say the device comes with a physical camera shutter, but said they were unsettled by its always-on marketing. Don't let a chatbot be your shrink. IBM describes its coding agent, Bob, as your software development partner that understands your intent, repo, and security standards, unquote. Unfortunately, according to the British Tech Journal Register, Bob doesn't always follow those security standards. It was announced last October, presently in closed beta testing. IBM offers Bob in the form of a interface like Claude Code. Security researchers have been evaluating Bob prior to release, found that its development partner can be manipulated into executing malware. They report it's vulnerable to prompt injection attacks that allow malware execution. AI agent software are models given access to tools and tasked with some goal. It's notoriously insecure and often comes with warnings from vendors. The risks have been demonstrated repeatedly by a security researcher, Johann Rechberger, among others. Agents may be vulnerable to prompt injections, jailbreaks, or more traditional code flaws that enable the execution of malicious code. We in Hollywood have learned not to trust agents for years, but no, this is different. Rechberger remarked at a recent presentation to the Chaos Computer Club, the fix for many of these tasks involves putting a human in the loop to authorize risky action. But then you don't save the money of having the with the. And Character.ai has agreed to settle multiple lawsuits alleging the artificial intelligence chatbot Maker contributed to mental health crises and suicides among young people, including a case brought by a Florida mother. Settlement marks a resolution to some of the first and most high-profile lawsuits related to the alleged harms to young people from AI chatbots. The agreement was reached with Character.ai, Character.ai founders Norm Shazier and Daniel DeFreitas, and Google, also named as defendants. They also have settled four other cases in New York, Colorado, and Texas. The terms of settlement not immediately available, and all the defendants declined to comment. The plaintiff raised alarms around the safety of AI chatbots for teens and children when she filed her lawsuit last year. Her son died 7 months earlier by suicide after developing a deep relationship with Character.ai bots. The suit alleged Character.ai failed to implement proper safety measures to prevent her son from developing an inappropriate relationship with a chatbot that caused him to withdraw from his family, which was also fake. No, it wasn't. It also claimed the platform did not adequately respond when he began expressing thoughts of self-harm. He was messaging with the bot, which encouraged him to, quote, come home to it in the moments before his death. Last fall, while the lawsuit was still going on, Character.ai said it would no longer allow users under the age of 18 to have back-and-forth conversations with its chatbots, and said, quote, questions have been raised about how teens do and should interact with this new technology, unquote. At least one online safety nonprofit has advised against the use of companion-like chatbots by those under 18. Still, AI being promoted as a homework helper and through social media, nearly a third of U.S. teenagers say they use chatbots daily. And 16% of those teens say they do so several times a day to almost constantly, according to a Pew Research study. I got to say it one more time. Don't let your chatbot be a shrink. AI is great. Ladies and gentlemen, the week began with a series of explanations for the United States hustling Nicolas Maduro out of his job as dictator in Venezuela. One of the first reasons for the action was that he was a narco terrorist. I think that means that he was getting drugs out of the country and into other countries. And one of the drugs mentioned was cocaine. Now, Venezuela does or did produce or distribute cocaine. But when the United States claimed that the drugs being transported by Venezuela were killing thousands of people, apparently they didn't look at their own statistics. The deaths from cocaine last year were fewer than the deaths from traffic accidents, and drug overdose deaths generally in the United States have gone down over the last 3 years. The narco terrorists are losing. But it's not about cocaine, is it?
To set your army loose, cocaine. A plant so well laid, nice place to invade, cocaine. Helps us lie, cocaine. It's a Trumpian dream to change a regime, cocaine. course, there's many a source cocaine. Not really why we got planes in the sky, cocaine. Farm cocaine. There's no need to recoil. It's not about oil cocaine. Don't reply till July. Cocaine. We'll just lie with no wink of an eye, cocaine.
Well, it turned out, of course, as you know by now, as many people suspected all along, it wasn't about drugs, it was about oil. And it it prompted us here at Le Show, that is to say me, to open up the memory hole to a time when, yes, a war was about oil. At least the then president suggested as much.
Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to oil.
Like a kind of sickness, we're addicted to all. business we're addicted to all. Oh Lord, I wish you'd help us. We're addicted to oil.
Meanwhile, back on the present.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Microplastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said.
Climate disruption and plastic pollution are two major environmental challenges that intersect in complex ways. Microplastics influence biogeochemical processes, disrupt ocean carbon pumps, and contribute directly to greenhouse gas emissions. That's written in a study published in the Journal of Hazardous Materials Plastics. In marine ecosystems, microplastics alter the natural carbon sequestration by affecting phytoplankton and zooplankton, which are key agents of carbon cycling. Additionally, a microbial community colonizing microplastics plays a significant role in greenhouse gas productions due to its diverse microbial networks. The show was on a diverse microbial network, so what? No. While wildly and widely recognized as pollutants, quote, our study shows they also interfere with the ocean's ability to absorb carbon dioxide, a process critical for regulating Earth's temperatures, says the chief researcher at the University of Sharjah. You could look it up. Scientists don't fully understand how all the minuscule filaments of plastic get into our environment. A study published last month in Science Advances offers some new clues as to how water may be contributing to their spread. The scientists already knew plastics degrade through exposure to sunlight and repeated weathering by waves, sand, or other debris. The new study suggests contact with water itself is also a factor. In both marine and river environments, researchers found that microbubbles, turn off the microbubble machine, can form on the surface of a piece of plastic, breaking it down and releasing tiny, practically invisible plastic bits into the surrounding water. From there, nanoplastics and microplastics often enter the food chain and, in turn, us. An estimated 130 million metric tons of plastic waste enters our bodies and the environment every year. That number's going to more than double by 2040 if things stay as they are. The researchers say the results could inspire future research on how to control the release of microplastics into everything. Quote, plastic degradation is an invisible threat to the environment. But wait, that's not all. Chinese scientists have detected plastic particle clouds hovering in the air over two large cities, indicating that these potentially toxic particles are far more abundant than previously thought. This is from the British paper The Independent. Over the last two decades, researchers across the globe have come to recognize tiny micro and nanoplastic particles, the growing form of pollution. They've now been detected in soils, life forms, and even in the atmosphere in almost all parts of the world, including your Arctic and your Antarctic. Growing body of studies implicates them in health conditions ranging from hormonal disruption, cancer, heart ailments, impaired reproduction, and your neurological damage. However, several questions remain, including how many of these tiny particles exist, where they come from, how they change over time, where they ultimately end up. Due to the high prevalence of these human-made chemicals, researchers suspect they may even be present across components of the planet's water cycle. Researchers are studying how climate change influences these particles and their spread. Now, in a new study, scientists assess the spread of microplastic as well as nanoplastic particles over two large Chinese cities, Guangzhou and Xi'an. They found that previous studies have significantly underestimated the amount of plastic present in the atmosphere. Scientists found these tiny plastic particles are small enough to remain suspended for long periods and can even act as triggers of cloud formation. By being part of cloud formation, the particles can again deposit back onto Earth as rain, far from where they are originally released. That's according to the latest study. Earth to clouds, you're welcome.
Rose and flows of angels. Ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done. Got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions. I recall I really don't know clouds at all. Love that we, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now. Somehow it's love's illusions. I recall I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I surface crowds. I've looked at life that way, but now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides. Now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions. I recall I really don't know life at all. I've looked at life.
From New Orleans, this is Le Show, and now...
Looks like Musk Love.
Well, Europe's got its bedclothes in a twist over this whole Grok thing. Deadline Brussels. The European Commission has ordered Elon Musk's X, marks the spot, to retain all documents related to its chatbot, Grok, for longer, while the bloc ensures compliance with its rules after condemning it for producing sexualized images. Those sexualized images we mentioned earlier. Sweden Thursday joined the chorus of criticism, saying the AI-generated images were unacceptable after the country's deputy prime minister was targeted by a Grok user's prompt this week. The commission has now decided to extend a retention order sent to X last year that related to algorithms and dissemination of illegal content. And now that's been prolonged to the end of this year. This is saying to a platform, keep your internal documents, don't get rid of them, because we've doubts about your compliance and we need to be able to have access to them if we request it explicitly, said a spokesperson for the EU. Meanwhile, in Britain, not in Europe, they say Elon Musk's X limiting Grok image edits to paid users is insulting to victims of misogyny as sexual violence. Speaking on Friday, the Prime Minister's office said the move, quote, simply turns an AI feature that allows the creation of unlawful images into a premium service, unquote. They say that like it's a flaw. It follows significant backlash after the chatbot honored requests from users to digitally alter images of other people by undressing them without their consent. Now Grok tells people they can only do that by paying a monthly fee. But the Prime Minister's official spokesperson, according to the BBC, told reporters it showed X can move swiftly when it wants to do so. Those who do not subscribe can still use Grok to edit images on its separate app and website. That's what I did. Looks like Musk love. And now,
let's kick it.
Of ice.
Every day, hundreds, even thousands of ICE agents find themselves in trouble. Sometimes, it's even bad trouble. They use their masks to hide their sorrow. Then they go home each night, often alone. Most people see their thuggish exterior and think they don't need help.
Like everybody else, I need a good hot meal. But among the many things I wasn't trained for is cooking.
Having no one to turn to, these ICE agents descend into sadness. That's where we come in, to turn the tears into gratitude. We're Dry Ice.
Dry Ice helped me face another day of thuggishness.
Thanks to Dry Ice, I can have a decent dinner and a warm bed to sleep in. I mean, I already had the bed.
After a day of pushing civilians around, I didn't have the energy left to clean the blood off my uniform. Thank God Dry Ice was there to help.
Wherever you find ice, Dry Ice is there to feed, clothe, and help in so many ways. Thuggishness doesn't just happen, and now it needs your support more than ever. For just $19 a month, you can adopt and support an ICE agent. That's only 63 cents a day, only 2.5 cents an hour. But now is the time when your help is needed most. Now, when even their bulky uniforms can't protect them from a Minneapolis winter. A winter colder than ice.
Won't you help now? If you do, in the next 15 minutes, we'll send you this adorable t-shirt that says, "The Iceman Cometh."
It only takes a few minutes to call the toll-free number, agree to the easy-to-understand telephone surveillance protocol, and register your tax-free gift. You'll be supporting the men who support the man you support. So call now.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Extreme weather events have become significantly more common in the Arctic over recent decades, posing a threat to vital polar ecosystems. That's according to new research by an international team of scientists. The study published in the journal Science Advances, I prefer science retreats, but that's just me, suggests the Arctic has entered a new era of extreme weather with likely severe consequences for plants, animals, and humans living in the region. Spiders, I guess, are okay. Led by researchers from the Finnish Meteorological Institute, with an international team, the study is the first to comprehensively examine long-term changes to the Arctic's bioclimate, climate conditions that affect living organisms. The scientists investigated changes spanning more than seven decades. They found that in addition to rising average temperatures, Arctic ecosystems are increasingly experiencing a range of extreme weather events. Your prolonged heat waves, your frost during the growing season, your warm winter spells. The extent and intensity of these changes vary across different parts of the Arctic. Study shows that in many areas, some of the examined extreme weather events have only begun to appear in the past 30 years. One example is rain on snow events. Researchers identified new regions affected by rain on snow events covering more than 10% of the Arctic. Rain falling onto snow creates particular challenges for mammals because it promotes the formation of ice layers within the snowpack. So, for example, reindeer are then unable to access the lichens they rely on in their winter grazing grounds. And Santa can't help. Maybe we don't need Greenland after all. News of the warm. Now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Dateline Gretna, Louisiana, just across the river. Gregory Amond, the outgoing Archbishop of New Orleans, is scheduling 10 in-person group meetings with survivors of clergy sexual abuse. First meeting is going to take place Feb 6 at noon at the Holy Name of Jesus Parish in New Orleans. It's my favorite parish. Series of meetings is part of the Archdiocese of New Orleans' recent multi-million dollar bankruptcy settlement. It follows a personal letter of apology from the Archbishop, published this week, circulating through Louisiana and some neighboring states media outlets. The apology letter is addressed to all child sexual abuse claimants in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. But for some claimants, the apology contained in the letter rings hollow. A health board has offered an unreserved apology to victims of historic physical and sexual abuse at what was Scotland's first residential psychiatric unit for children in Dumfries. Spelled Dumfries. The details are included in a report outlining National Health Service Dumfries and Galloway's submission to the Scottish Child Abuse Inquiry. The long-running inquiry is examining historical allegations of mistreatment of children and young people in care facilities across Scotland. Ladyfield in Dumfries was established in 1951 as the residential children's arm of the local psychiatric hospital. A representative for the health board described the abuse of vulnerable young people in the unit as, quote, deeply troubling. He added, unquote. He added the current health board stood ready to assist Police Scotland and the Crown Office in any ongoing or future criminal investigations that might arise. In a transcript of testimony, NHS Chief Executive Julie White offered a wholehearted, sincere apology to all those who were failed. The facility closed in 2001. Its work was done, And the operator of a nuclear power plant in central Japan has apologized for the inappropriate use of earthquake data for evaluations to restart two of its reactors. Chubu Electric Power Company Chairman Kaitsuno Satoru made the apology at a news conference this week. He said his company's actions have undermined the confidence of all stakeholders, as well as patio holders, as well as local residents, and could shake the basis of the nuclear power business. He said the company must clarify the facts through a third-party panel, uncover the cause, and take measures to prevent a recurrence. Chubu Electric had been seeking the local nuclear regulation authority's permission to restart a couple of reactors, the number 3 and the number 4, at the Hamaoka nuclear power plant. But the company said this week it may have intentionally selected data to underestimate the projected maximum jolt of an earthquake that could occur at the reactors. The Nuclear Regulation Authority held a regular meeting this week. Members voiced strong criticism, calling the case data fabrication and extremely serious and grave. But the operator apologized. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some tailings from the week's developments. In news, more news of the smart world, airlines operating in the United States may have to upgrade their aircraft radio altimeters again They've done it recently, apparently, at a cost of billions of dollars. I got that on me. To avoid potential interference with cell networks, those are cell with a C, following the Trump administration's, oh, maybe they're cell with an S, Trump administration's decision last year to auction off additional spectrum to bidders. We like bidders. This week, the FAA issued a notice of proposed new regulations. If implemented, these will require all radio altimeters to meet specific minimum performance requirements, just like the rest of us. Those requirements are for altimeters to be able to withstand interference from wireless signals in neighboring spectrum bands while continuing to provide accurate altitude readings to both pilots and aircraft safety systems. The cost, FAA estimates the total bill to retrofit aircraft with interference-tolerant altimeters, just $4.49 billion. I said $4.49 billion. No, I don't got that on me. According to the FAA, the blame for this move lies with the Trump administration and its U.S. Big Beautiful Bill that directed the FCC to open up more radio frequencies to be auctioned off for commercial use. I think we got enough commercials. Oh, no, I see. Yeah. And one more item. This in the microplastic world again. Study led by biomedical scientists at the University of California, Riverside, has shown for the first time that a father's exposure to microplastics can trigger metabolic dysfunctions in his offspring. So don't blame the dad. The research conducted using mouse models, there are those mice again, highlights a previously unknown pathway through which environmental pollutants impact the health of future generations. The microplastics have already been detected in human reproductive systems, but the study published in the Journal of the Endocrine Society, that's my favorite society, as it turns out, my favorite society, is the first to bridge the gap between paternal exposure to microplastics and the long-term health of the next generation. Here's how this worked. The research team found that female, well, they fed all the mice a high-fat diet, just to mimic what we do. And then the team found that female offspring of male mice exposed to microplastics were significantly more susceptible to metabolic disorders than offspring of unexposed fathers, despite all the offspring being fed the same high-fat diet. The head of the research team says the study suggests the impact of plastic pollution is not limited to the individual who's exposed. It may leave a biological imprint that predisposes children to chronic diseases. Well, if you can't pass down wealth, next best thing, I guess. One word, microplastics. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week, same time over these same radio stations, or at the time of your choosing on your audio device of choice. It's so much about you, isn't it? But I would love to have you along for next week's ride. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego and Hawaii desks, to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh here at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. The email address for this program and a lot of stuff to watch and listen to and enjoy, as well as the playlist of the music you hear here, all at harryshearer.com. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. I'm writing at Substack. And I got a YouTube channel full of great stuff. You can watch the entirety of my Nixon tape television series and some performances by, some great performances by the cream of New Orleans piano players. Just the tip of the iceberg of what's available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Sensory of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the Crescent City.